Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who in the Paschal mystery established the new covenant of reconciliation, grant that all who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Dr. Joseph Heratunian, professor at McCormick Theological Seminary, came to America from Armenia. One day, a well-meaning friend said to him, "Your name is quite difficult to pronounce, and even more difficult to spell. It could hurt your professional career. Why don't you change your name to Harwood, or Harwell, or something like that?" The good doctor asked, "What do those names mean?" His friend replied, "Well, nothing. They're just easier to remember." In Armenia, he said, when my grandfather was baptized, they named him Heratunian, which means resurrection. I am Joseph Heratunian, and I will be a son of resurrection all my days. In our gospel reading this morning, we find ourselves on the evening of Easter Sunday. The great access into God's new world has broken into our own with Jesus being raised from the dead. The stone of death has been rolled away. Peter and John have seen the empty tomb. And the apostles have heard Mary Magdalene's testimony that the Lord Jesus had risen and was ascending to the Father. But what do we notice about the disciples on the evening of this Easter Sunday? They are in the upper room, and the doors are locked. They are still terrified of the Jewish leaders. Yet they are not children of the night. They are not called to hide in the shadows behind locked doors. They are children of God's new day, of the life of heaven flooding the earth. And as Jesus was sent by the Father, so they are to be sent. They are to take the message and the life of God's new world into the entire world. For they are children of the resurrection. Similar to Christmas, Easter is not one day, but an entire season. Now we have 12 days of Christmas, but with Easter we get 50 days. When the world quickly goes to the next thing, we Christians are just getting started. Fathom that for a second. 50 whole days to rejoice and meditate on resurrection life. It's absolutely incredible, and it's incredibly absolute. Resurrection life has already broken in that first Easter Sunday. It continues to break in each and every single day up to the present. And we also eagerly look forward to resurrection bodies, incorruptible bodies to come. So resurrection is already, and it is not yet. God's new world is continually expanding into our own, but has not yet been fully realized. And this brings us back to the disciples, and indeed our role between the already and the not yet. We are children of the resurrection in a world full of decay and death. We are children of the eternal spring in a world held in the grip of winter. And as Jesus was sent to the world, his disciples are to be sent to the world to share the greatest news of all. He is risen. Hallelujah. And he makes all things new. So let us press further into this story and further into our identity and calling as children of the resurrection, sent into the world. If you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at John chapter 20, verse 19, found on page 652. Now, when I was growing up, I loved Saturday morning cartoons. Anybody else? It was something I looked forward to every single week. And one of the shows that always aired was Where on Earth is Carmen Sandiego? You guys remember that? You never knew when or where she was going to show up, so you had to piece together the clues and be on guard. You had to be a good detective. Well, when reading the resurrection stories in the Gospels, we've got to be good detectives, because you don't know when Jesus is going to show up or where he's going to show up. I mean, we've got him with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus in Luke's gospel. He's walking with them. He's talking with them. He goes into the house and he breaks bread with them. And then, boom, he's gone. And in our passage today, Jesus appears in the midst of the disciples, even though the doors are locked. They are afraid, and then, boom, he's standing among them. He says, "Peace be with you." The perfect shalom peace of Jesus is with the disciples now. This is not just a mere greeting, guys. This is a gift of God's kingdom. The shalom of God with them and among them. And as he speaks to them, Jesus shows them the wounds in his hands and from his side. You see, there is no resurrection without the cross. William Craig notes, without the belief in the resurrection, the Christian faith could not have come into being. The disciples would have remained crushed and defeated men. Even if they continued to remember Jesus as their beloved teacher, his crucifixion would have silenced any hope of him being the Messiah. The cross would have remained the sad, shameful end of his career. There is no new life, no resurrection life, without the laying down of life. But now they hear him speak. They see his wounds. They feel his peace. And like that, their grief turns to joy. Though the morning lasts for the night, joy comes in the morning. And God's new day has already dawned. They are children of the resurrection, filled with a joy that cannot be put out, a joy that cannot expire, an eternal and lasting joy. But Jesus again says, "Peace be with you." Why the second time? Was his first utterance not enough? No. For with the Lord, he lavishes good things upon those who are his. He gives in an abundance, and his kingdom gifts are inexhaustible. And this peace of his kingdom, the shalom of his presence, they will need as they are sent out into the world. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you, Jesus says. Jesus is the ultimate sent one of God, and now he sends his followers. The church is a sent people for the world. Say that with me. The church is a sent people for the world. That includes you and me. Well, then something happens that is completely amazing. The text says that Jesus breathed on them. But in the Greek, it is he breathed into them. And this takes us all the way back to Genesis 2. In Genesis 2, verse 7, the Lord God formed Adam from the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils. And the man became a living person. So Jesus now breathes into his followers and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now hold on, Scott. I thought the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost. This is the evening on Easter Sunday. Yes. Yes. Pentecost is in Acts 2, and that is the birth of the church when the Holy Spirit was poured out in power. But here in our passage today, we have the conception of the church. And the time between the conception and the birth, these 50 days, is a season of formation and development. It is a womb of new creation. How do we know this? Well, 8 days later, the disciples are all in one place and the doors are still locked. And in chapter 21, instead of fishing for people, they're still fishing for fish. What has been conceived has not yet been born. That's why you have to have these 50 days. It's huge. But there are some other deep truths in this passage. First, as a hymn rightly notes, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. So Jesus is the foundation of the church. And secondly, without the Holy Spirit, the church simply cannot be. Sadly, the Western church has attempted at replacing the Holy Spirit with business models and formulaic strategies. Churches operate as if they carry the Holy Spirit on their backs and not vice versa. But we simply cannot be the sent people of God without the power and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We cannot be Jesus' new creation, his church, without him as our foundation and without the Holy Spirit within us. We need the life of God, and we have the life of God because We are children of the resurrection. But can children of the resurrection doubt? This Sunday has often been named Doubting Thomas Sunday. But I do not believe that it is entirely fair to call it such. Thomas is not there on the evening of Easter Sunday. He's not behind these locked doors with the rest of them. I've often wondered where he was that evening and what he was doing. If the rest of the disciples were terrified, why not Thomas? Did he go out to the tomb after hearing Mary's testimony? Was he out searching for Jesus? But alas, Jesus appears to the disciples and Thomas is not there. But when told that the Lord had appeared among the disciples, Thomas says, "Unless I see the nail holes in his hands and put my finger in the nail holes and stick my hand in his side, I won't believe it." Sounds kind of like Lee Strobel's investigative searching in the case for Christ. But 8 days after Jesus appears behind locked doors, boom! He does it again. Remember, you never know when or where Jesus is going to show up. And again, Jesus says, "Peace be with you. Shalom." But then he says, "Hey, you there. You, Thomas, come here. I want to talk with you. Put your finger here. Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. Believe." And here, my beloved friends, we have the profession of the church in Thomas's words. "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. What are we to make of the doubting of Thomas? In 1943, Dorothy Sayers created a series of dramatic readings from the life of Jesus for the BBC, published under the title "The Man Born to be King." For each of the plays, Sayers offers notes on the characters and the way they should be read. She writes about Thomas's profession. "It is unexpected, but extraordinarily convincing, that the one absolutely unequivocal statement in the whole gospel of the divinity of Jesus should come from Doubting Thomas. It is the only place where the word God is used of Jesus without qualification of any kind." You see, nowhere in John's gospel does anyone call Jesus God except here. Nowhere in John's gospel does anyone call Jesus God except here. But this is what John told us in chapter 1, in the prologue. Jesus is God. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Well, now we hear a profession that Jesus is God from someone of such skepticism. John wrote his gospel so that you and I might believe, so that we too might say the same words that Thomas spoke: "My Lord and my God." But Thomas saw Jesus in the flesh. You and I see by faith, and we are blessed because of it. And we believe because we are children of God's new day, because we are Jesus' new creation who participate in his very life, because we are children of the resurrection. Well, connecting this passage with our day is quite striking. There are many Christians who live their lives in fear behind closed doors, as if the Holy Spirit has not been given to them. But God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but one of power and sound mind. I recently read an article this past week where an archbishop said that one Christian is killed every hour for practicing their faith. One Christian is killed every hour for practicing their faith. Our brothers and sisters in Egypt were killed worshiping on Palm Sunday. Christians are persecuted all over the world. Yet here in the U.S., do you know what Christians are afraid of? It's not being killed. You know what Christians are afraid of? It's looking stupid. This is what Christians are afraid of in the U.S. It's looking stupid, of looking like a fool. What vanity. Let me tell you something. The world already thinks you're crazy, that you're a fool for following Jesus. Go on and be a bigger fool for him. You are children of the resurrection. You're children of God's new day. Fear is for the night. You have the peace of God, the shalom of God, and God's Holy Spirit dwelling within you. Do not be afraid. Believe. You have been sent out to bear God's light to the world. But what of doubt? Will there be times when you struggle with doubt? I'm reminded at the Great Commission in Matthew's Gospel where the disciples go up the mountain, and Matthew writes in chapter 28, verse 17, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. But some of them doubted. You see, it's not just Thomas who doubted. There were others. As a pastor, I hear people's doubts all the time. We will be tempted and we will be tested with doubt. Yet Jesus' words to Thomas apply to us too. Don't be faithless. Don't be faithless. Believe. And there is a lot of evidence for why we should believe. Sure, we can't see and touch Jesus' wounds like Thomas did, but the saints experience the power and the life of God in their very lives. We see the power of the resurrection in the lives of the disciples. Dull, defeated people became fearless, adventuresome leaders. Cowards became courageous. The timid became triumphant. The inept did the impossible. He is risen became the joyous chant of a new life without limits. The older that I get, the more the words of the Apostle Paul ring true for me. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And indeed, I have known it, and this is my continual prayer and hope. How do I know that Jesus lives? How do I know he left the tomb that morning long, long ago? I met him just this morning, and my heart is still aglow. How do I know the endless life he gained for me that day? His life within is proof enough of immortality. And like your life, because he lives, my life keeps on changing. I am the same, yet different. You are the same, but different. But I will always, and you will always, be dependent upon him and his new creation life. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. You are not children of the night. You are not people filled with terror, grief, and doubt. You are children of God's new day, filled with joy, faith, and power. You are children of the resurrection. Believe it. Let us pray. Almighty Father, you have given your only Son to die for our sins and to rise again for our justification. Grant us so to put away the leaven of malice and wickedness, that we may always serve you in pureness of living and truth, through the merits of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.